Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On this week's episode of Barbecue and Tech, we have a delight for you. From Baggin' Barbecue, we have Chris Patterson with us to talk about what it takes to run a food truck, educate these two clowns that you guys listen to week in and week out. But I know Chris is excited because, well, I have two Chrises, and this is really crazy. Chris Ashley is super excited because Chris Patterson is living his dream of running a food truck, cooking barbecue, and it's always hard to witness somebody who can cook better than you. So Chris,
yes,
Patterson, welcome to the show. It's going to be really hard with two Chrises, so you have no idea who I'm talking to. So I might not talk a lot, but let's get down, guys.
Hey, man.
Thank you guys so much, Chris, for having me.
Yeah, man. No, thank you for hanging out with us. Really appreciate you coming through. So I had the opportunity, Rod, a couple weeks ago to stop by CP's food truck, and they were up in the area, and I pretty much bought one of everything like I always do when I hit a new spot. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes I'm miserable because I'm like, this is trash. Sometimes I'm like, okay, not bad, not bad. But this particular case was very good. I was very excited eating your barbecue because I don't like, you know, I always feel like nobody makes better barbecue than me, but we all feel like that, right? But I do, but I don't want to taste anything where I'm like, I'm heads and toe above that, right? I want to taste something like, this is awesome. I would eat this again. You know what I mean? I don't even want to have the thoughts of like, what's better, what's not better. Right. And that's exactly what I got.
Thank you.
And eating your pulled pork and your chopped beef and the sides we had, the coleslaw and good grief, man. The chicken was really good. It was all in. So my first question right out of the gate is, how did you get started into barbecue? What was your, you know, how did you get into this in the first place?
Okay. So, I can't take any credit for that. My father, James Patterson, he introduced barbecue to me as far back as I can remember. My family, we're originally from Red Springs, North Carolina, very small country town, probably about 20 miles south of Fayetteville. And we moved here back in the late 80s, very early 90s. And my dad never officially had a barbecue business back then, but he was always grilling for parties and bringing that Carolina flavor to the parties and making the pork and making the ribs. And during that time, he would have people over the house occasionally. And every once in a while, they would be like, man, how do you make this barbecue so good? And he's just like, right, this is where I'm from. This is what we do, you know?
Right.
And him bringing that to Maryland, eventually his friends and neighbors started asking, can you do this for me? Can you make this for our party? Or can you make food for our parties? And eventually my dad started just doing it on the side. And I was assisting since as far as just bringing him stuff, being his runner in and out of the house, you know, working out of the backyard or working out of the front yard. So I've been in his back pocket since I was a kid, and I've learned everything I know, you know, for the most part from my father. I like to say that I'm an innovative version of him when it comes to the barbecue, because he doesn't play around, man. He's a snob about the barbecue, just like I know you guys are. If you're a real barbecue guy, you're judging everybody's stuff based on in comparison to yours, of course. And just in, like you said, in comparison to good barbecue in general, because of course, none of us think anyone's barbecue is better than ours. But my father introduced me to it, taught me the ins and outs. I learned a lot from watching. I learned a lot from messing up. But really just sitting back and watching him do his thing. And these days I've just tried to innovate what he does with our business. And just to fill you in, this is a family business. Originated through my father.
Excellent. Yeah. Because my wife had been on me to find you guys for a while. Okay. And I was like, you know, at some point we're going to get up on there because, you know, you grow up with my godson and my stepson and a lot of the folks that I know. So, so she was like, hey, they started, and she knows I love supporting, small businesses. So she was definitely on me for a while, to get in there. So last week we had another awesome guest, Chanda, who's from Texas and, you know, all in with the Texas flavors. How would you typically describe Carolina barbecue to a novice?
So the one thing that separates Carolina barbecue, in my opinion, compared to all other barbecues, is the chopped pork. Is it's the vinegar based chopped pork. Now, you know, Carolina does have two different styles of barbecue: mustard based, vinegar based. We're Eastern Carolina, and we do the vinegar base. I think across the board, I don't really know if there's any other states that include the vinegar in their barbecue. But when people ask when they come to the food truck, they're like, hey, what do I have to try? What do I have to try? I say, hey, you got to try our Carolina chopped pork. Like, that's a staple of North Carolina, is that whole hog, you know, the whole hog barbecue, chopping that whole hog up. Now, of course, we don't do the whole hog every weekend. We do Boston butts, but it's that hickory smoke, chopped pork, vinegar base. That gives you a little bit of everything's hitting your tongue. You're tasting a little bit of the pepper and the vinegar. You're tasting that smoke, and you're tasting some moist chopped pork. In my opinion, it's my favorite food when it comes to barbecue. But I think that's the staple of North Carolina barbecue, is that Carolina chopped pork. And it's not a pulled pork thing. Like, from in Carolina, we chop it.
Yeah.
You know? And we include everything. We don't take the fat out. None of that. We chop it all up, mix it all together.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Go ahead, Rod.
Yeah, you said a couple things that I think are, you like hickory with your pork, is what I heard. Right. So you use hickory wood, is what I quickly picked up on. I love the fact that you're saying it's chopped, not pulled. And is it pepper forward like you would get with a Texas barbecue, or is it more mild on the pepper, not that heavy pepper that you typically
would get? It's more mild. It's more mild. In my opinion, it's a you know, some people love a ton of vinegar on their pork. When you do the vinegar, in my opinion, it's supposed to be a hint. It's not supposed to be an overpowering taste when it comes to Carolina. It's supposed to be that little twang on your tongue, and then you taste the smoke and everything else. Some people, like I said, they have preference. So they want to soak their barbecue in vinegar, and hey, whatever floats your boat. But it's supposed to be just that little kick of vinegar, and then all the other flavors from smoking it for hours. But not heavy on the pepper. It's just a little bite, but we do have a spicier version of our vinegar that people do enjoy.
So that's one of the things that Rod and I have spent time trying to impress upon the folks listening to this barbecue podcast is that, you know, a lot of this is subjective. So, you know, go start with what you like, and then take, you know, you can take feedback and then figure out how you can make it better. I was peeking through your Instagram, looking at some amazing pictures, and I noticed like the two massive pits. What kind of pits are those?
So those are like oil tankers that have been, they were built in North Carolina, basically just tanks. I'm not sure how many gallons they are. They can fit about 40 racks of ribs on each one. They're massive. And so, you know, that's another thing about North Carolina barbecue. It's pit. You know, most good barbecue, if you're eating a good barbecue, is being made pit style. I will say, I wouldn't necessarily say that pit barbecue is what's in best interest of your health long term. because you're really smoking with that meat. Like when you're dealing with those pit smokers, every time you open it, man, you might as well throw your body in there because you're engulfing all that smoke.
It's a big hit.
It's a big hit, and it burns your eyes, it burns your nose. I had you coughing. I know everyone that deals with pit barbecue that has experienced it. But that's all we've been known to really use over the years. Mm-hmm. But I can say in the past 2 years, just with the high demand in which our barbecue is bringing in this area these days, we have also included a industrial smoker.
Oh.
So is that a
water smoker, the industrial one?
No, it's a wood smoker. It's powered by electricity, of course, and then propane. So the propane lights the wood. It's by a company called Southern Pride. I'm sure you guys have probably heard of them.
I have not actually. Yeah, no.
So Southern Pride, really popular, excuse me, in the barbecue world. But yeah, those pits are what I grew up on. And honestly, we started a lot smaller. We would use turned our backyard charcoal grills into pits. But then my dad had, this is like our, we have two at the building right now. We've already probably went through two or three that just burned out, you know, from so much use.
Wow. Sure.
Been repaired and then you repair them the most you can. The bottom usually, rust out and stuff like that. But yeah, so that, in my opinion, is the best thing to cook on if you want your barbecue to come out with flavor and having that char on it, you know, at the same time. And that's one thing you kind of miss in that smoker.
So the drum pits that you have, the charcoal goes, if I'm not mistaken, it goes underneath or is it offset?
Completely underneath.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Because, I you know, the funny thing is, even though I was talking about this last week, and one of the things about being from Maryland is we don't necessarily have our own style of barbecue.
Yeah, we don't.
Except for the fact that they cook a lot of barbecue on the same type of pit that you do.
Right.
And, you know, open flame and all of that. But you know, so that allowed me to really experience the different regions of barbecue over the years and then kind of pick up a little bit from here and there as opposed to being marrying. So, you know, and part of me says, yeah, it's awesome to be an expert at a region because then you can say, this is what I do. And then part of me is like, you know, I enjoy barbecue so much. I enjoy it. So for me, I've talked about this all the time. I've always enjoyed, when it comes to pulled pork, a Carolina style pulled pork. I've eaten barbecue.
I don't think anything pairs better, man. When it comes to pork and that vinegar, I can go down and make one. I can eat one every day, man. Honestly,
I'm with you.
I love it. I love it.
I'll take that. I'll just throw it on a plate with some coleslaw and go to town. Strictly on that.
Yeah. You know that coleslaw on that pulled pork. That's another Carolina thing.
Yeah, and that's why I love it so much. Brisket, I do Texas style, and then ribs tends to be. I kind of more that Memphis style. Right. KC doesn't get much love with me, but not that I hate anything they do, it's just not. So now the one thing that I've always wondered, and you're the perfect person to answer this, because I love, one of the reasons we started this podcast is because Rod and I have found various technologies over the years to facilitate our barbecue and, and just make things easier. Now, obviously with the pit, you're not really hooking up fans to those pits, but they're so massive that once you get the temp, it's going to hold temp. But how are you guys keeping track of your foods? Are you using apps to maintain or using remote thermometers, or is it just all feel at this point? How do you guys kind of deal with some of the, the amount of food that you're cooking? Because I think I saw one pit with about 40 butts on it.
Yeah. Before we get into how he's doing it, how much are you cooking on because you do pop up, right? Like you announce on Facebook, Instagram, the truck is going to be here. You're serving. Is it the Washington?
Just to give you guys a background on. DMV. I'm in the DMV. Just to give you a little background on myself. So I'm still fully employed during the day. I'm a federal employee, full time. So, you know, this business has always been on the side and been begging for it to be, you know, it's been begging us to take it full time, which God willing, we will in the very near future. These days we really don't use the pits as often as we used to, just because we have found a more productive, way of doing it while keeping the food the same quality, if not better quality, in my honest opinion. Now I don't think there's anything better than a perfectly cooking on a fire pit. I don't think it gets any better than that. Like if you're cooking over that pit directly over that flame, that is 100% the best food you're ever going to get. But you got to be a little realistic with, like I said, now number one, in my opinion, health. Like, that's the biggest thing that's always screamed out to me for my years of working on those fire pits is like, there's no way I can be breathing this stuff in this close and expect to live a long life.
365 days a year.
And then you say that to some people in the South, they'd be like, oh, you're being soft or, you know, but I'm also into health. Right. Yeah. I'm also into health and I'm woke. You know what I mean? I can't. Who cares how much money we make from barbecue if the smoke kills me?
Right. Yeah. 100%.
Right. But, we cook 2 to 3 days a week right now. And that will be in the evenings when I get off from work. I will spend the earlier part of the week seasoning up all the food, buying the food and then seasoning it all up based on what jobs we have. Can only take on so much work because we have a full-time jobs. But we will do 2 to 3 pop-ups a week. And then I'll take on as many catering jobs as I can. I can always find a solution to getting the catering jobs delivered as long as I get the food ready. I have a nice little team that can get stuff out for me, even some guys that can do it for me during the day while I'm at work. But right now we're cooking about 2-3 times a week, 2-3 days a week.
Okay.
All right. So if someone said, you know what, I got a big party coming up, I can't handle it, I need you to do it, they can just hit you up on your Instagram or your Facebook page and you 100%. Guys can sort of deliver that. Yeah. But when you're doing a pop-up where you decide, you know, we're going to be at this location this day, you announce on Instagram,
right,
how much food are you actually preparing? Like, give us the rundown.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. Is you never really know how much to make, right? So, in our beginning stages of the food truck and our pop up, we had a pop up tent that we would do before the food truck. We would just go buy the food, make it, and say, "Hey, we hope we sell out." And majority of the time, actually, like 100% of the time, we would sell out. And then eventually, over the months, I'd like, we can't sell out. If we sell out, we're not making as much money as we can make. So let's try to bring more food than needed. But this is the thing. The problem back then was we weren't consistent. We weren't working week to week to week. We were still trying to get our feet wet, figure it out. So when you're not working week to week, you can't really bring
too much.
You
definitely don't want all the leftovers.
Yeah, you don't want to have all those leftovers. Now that we're a few years in, well, we're years in when it comes to the barbecue, but when we're into like talking a weekly business, we're about 4 years into that now. And
you get regulars as well now, right?
Yeah, we have a small cult, in my opinion, man.
And that's the killer, man. That's the difference maker in a business is if you're inconsistent, you don't have people who are showing up each week. Now people are like, they're looking on your page. They know where you're going to be. They're going to get their little hit on the weekend.
And they get mad, man. It's crazy how people get over food. Like, when y'all going to post y'all schedule, man? Like, what? This is crazy. I can't figure out where y'all at. So we try our best to stay consistent. We had a little hiccup in recent time. I just recently lost my mother. She was battling stage 4 cancer for 2 years. So, for 2 years, we were really inconsistent and we weren't putting it out there as to why. And I know we lost some people during that time frame, but it is what it is. We had to take care of her first. And I already know on the back end, you know, the blessings are coming and they already are showing, you know, she passed about 2 months ago now and I picked the business back up right after. And it's just slowly picking back up. Well, I mean,
loved the business too. She was a big help.
She was the other half of the business. My dad and I did a lot of work, but my mom was the other half of all the little things that you don't want to do. Us guys don't want to do. We like to cook and we like to see people eat our food. But when it came to the admin side and just handling all the little stuff all the way down to shopping, et cetera, she did that stuff. But this past weekend, we had a pop-up in Germantown, just random pop-up in a parking lot. And, probably about 10 minutes into the pop-up, it started downpouring. And I'm pissed.
That's right.
I was there for that. We had big rain too.
Yeah, I'm pissed, man. And I'm, because I care a lot about this business just in general. And nothing's worse than when you work really hard to make the food and you're like, man, this food's about to go to waste. Or they're not going to get it in its best quality. So I'm like, dang, I'm already like, dang, you know, cursing a little bit. Well, it's not supposed to rain for 2 more hours. Lo and behold, man, not one person left the line. And not only did not one person leave the line got longer. And for 2.5 hours, we had a line until we sold out. And the I'm talking about pouring monsoon rain. I was like, I wish I had a videographer, you know, for people to see this. I tried to take some videos, but I didn't want to be rude and have the people in the line seeing me videotape them in the rain.
Right.
But I did capture a little bit of it.
That's great.
Yeah. So the issue, back to your original question, when it comes to knowing how much to prep, these days I try to overcook because I'm going to consistently have pop-ups week to week. And we try to manage the food the best we can. You know, once you make the barbecue, we can't cook on our truck. It's just not a food truck where you're going to come up.
You have a more of a service truck as opposed to a cooking truck. Yeah.
So when you're getting our food, it's already been warmed. Other than the chicken, I do chicken day of, and I bring that chicken fresh out of the smoker to the pop-up because I'm not a big fan of reheating chicken. Yeah. But when it comes to the pork and the ribs and all that, that's cooked one day prior. So when you're getting it, it's already been warmed twice now.
Which is amazing, right? Because like I said, everything I had ordered was full flavored and there was no signs of that it was reheated,
right.
Which is awesome. And it's something that the funny thing is a lot of times I have friends like I'll post some barbecue that I make and then I'll say, hey, there's no way my family's going to eat all this. Hey, come pick some up.
Right.
But the thing that I want to know is A, obviously, does it taste good? But B, how well did it reheat?
Right.
Because, you know, I've done a ton of tailgating and my mindset has always been sometimes I got to be able to prepare something ahead of time so that on the day of, I can just reheat it, keep everything else moving.
Right.
And so it's kind of amazing awesome or that you guys have, you know, kind of found the same way forward.
Right.
So, yeah, one thing that we found was we had to do briskets a day before.
Yeah.
For some reason, I can't remember what it was. And we found that reheating it in a sous vide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It honestly came out and it seemed like a brisket like we just cooked.
It seemed like it added more smoke. So even at the beginning of the year, I offered to cater my godson's game that they went to Commander's game.
Oh, yeah.
And
so you brought that new truck.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was able to use it in the sous vide and Rod was like the test because just 2 weeks before we had did a brisket and reheated in a sous vide. And when he was like, this is amazing, that kind of solidified as I can plug the sous vide in and drive with it in the back of the truck. And it came out, you know, with the the pulled pork. Yeah. The pulled pork I did. So that's amazing. And then, so how do you guys reheat your pulled pork and still keep it with all the flavor and the,
You have to give away your secrets.
No, these aren't secrets. This is stuff that can help people, man. The secret is in the cooking and in the seasoning and the prepping.
We'll get to that later.
Right. So the reheating process has been a process that it took time to figure out how to perfect it. But it really starts with when you're making the food. So like when I'm chopping the pork up, I'm always sure to not only like do I put a good amount of vinegar in there, but I also pour, when I bring the pork shoulders out, a lot of times, of course, they're falling off the bone and they're in a puddle of the juices that, you know, was sitting in while smoking. So I do, you know, when we smoke the shoulders about 4 to 5 hours uncovered and another about 3 hours with them wrapped in tinfoil. So that tinfoil, and I always keep the fat side, up so that the fat is dripping down onto the meat. So when we take, and so when we take these pork shoulders out, they're full of, the tinfoil at the bottom is full of liquid, some really flavorful liquid, man. And I've been trying to find some new things to do with, honestly. Almost like a broth, like a pork shoulder broth.
Sure.
Awesome, but broth, right? So after I chop up the pork, It's already pretty juicy because it's a lot of fat mixed in there.
Very fatty.
Yeah. Throw in that vinegar. And then I also take about half of that tinfoil of that broth and I pour it back into the pork. So now at the bottom of the pork, you got a nice little probably about an inch and a half of liquid.
Right.
So that helps extremely when warming the pork up the next day or 2 days later. You want to make it just like anything else you put in the oven. You want to keep it moist, you know, just add some water to the bottom of the pan. Well, this now is being warmed up with the vinegar and the juices from it smoking in the bottom of the chopped pork. So we warm it up. And then as it gets pretty hot, you don't actually need it to get that hot because the liquid in the bottom starts boiling a little bit. And then I just take it out and I just mix it. And that really heats everything up. I take it from there and I throw it in one of our warmers. A warmer that doesn't have heat. Just one of those natural warmers that you close and it keeps food warm.
So like a Cambro. So,
yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
I have a couple of them.
All right. So we warm the food up in we have a meat locker smoker.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's pretty, probably about 6 feet tall, maybe a little taller than that. Has about 7-8 racks in it that we can, we used to use it to smoke a lot of food, but that we outgrew it. So now we just use it as a warmer. It has propane hooked up to it, flame that comes from the bottom. Layer, you know, in the morning, in the beginning on a Saturday morning, we have a pop-up. I warm up the pork first because the pork is the easiest to warm up and it's going to last the longest and staying warm because it's sitting in that liquid, right?
Yeah.
So you throw it and then you throw it in those warmers, it's going to stay warm. After that, I go to the ribs. The ribs are the trickiest when warming up because if you over-warm them up, you're ruining them.
Yep.
As you guys know. So when I cook the ribs, I try to take the ribs out about maybe 45 minutes, almost to an hour sooner than you would, right? And now it makes it a little tough sometimes when it comes to cutting the ribs. But when we're prepping for a job that's a few days later or a day later, you don't want those ribs falling off the bone right there when you're cutting them the day before. That's how you want them when you're eating them, right? You never really want them falling off the bone. You want them ripping off the bone. But
I'll interject real quick because the first thing I do when I grab anybody's rib is I give it the test. Mm-hmm. And I took one of the rib bones out and I bit in the middle of the bone and lo and behold, pulled away, had my teeth marks in the rib, rest of the meat stayed on the bone. I was like, these guys get it. These guys get it. Right. And it's hard. And I know it's hard because when you got ribs sitting in a warmer, they're still cooking. And so that, you know, now you're breaking down the fibers more, but at least when I got there, I got what I was hoping to get, which was a really solid rib.
Great news, man. I'm happy, very happy to hear that. The ribs are stressful.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yeah, they're stressful because it's like, you know, you want them. No rib tastes as good as when it does fresh off that smoker or fresh off the grill. Reheat and I don't care what anyone says. Like, reheated is just a little bit less quality. I can say, like, the pork, in my opinion, reheated, I think it tastes better a lot of times. Even the chicken sometimes. Even though I'm not a big fan of reheating it, the way that the smoke sinks in after you've had it in the fridge for a day or two,
and then
it always has that stronger smoke taste.
I agree.
From the refrigerator, but with the ribs, I try to take them off a little early. A trick that I've recently implemented with the ribs that I'm sure you guys have done before, and it's new for my entire family because my dad never did it. Was I started to take the ribs out, and when we wrap them in between the midway of smoking, I've been throwing butter on top of the ribs. Started doing that a few months ago, and oh my goodness, has it been a game changer when it comes to the taste. But that's also it gives you that liquid in the bottom of that tinfoil too.
Exactly right.
It helps with that moisture, with making
to
it
break
tender.
It down. Yep.
Right, break it down.
100%,
so, right, but butter is only going to give you flavor, so.
The butter gives you flavor from the fat, and it also adds the moisture into the foil to help steam it. That's one of the big tips we've been giving folks over since we started the podcast is to add a little butter and some more seasoning on top of that butter and then wrap it.
Right.
The other thing is we tell people is that you know, don't go with that whole 5-3-1 nonsense.
No.
I was like, you got to learn your smoker.
Right.
You
know? Exactly.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So I have a whole process. I cook the ribs and the pork shoulders together. Started like five, you know, I texted you the other day. I've been in there since 5:30 in the morning. I throw the pork shoulders in, the ribs in, start them at about 250 on the smoker. You know, I don't like really smoking the ribs at that high of a temperature, but I smoke them a little bit of a shorter time frame. After about 5 hours, the ribs come out. And then I turn that smoker up to the highest it can go, which is 325.
Get you a bark on the pork shoulders.
Let those pork shoulders smoke the rest of the way. Take those out after about 5 hours, wrap them, put them back in for about 3 hours. And man, when those things come out, they're literally, you open the tinfoil and they're just falling apart. Yeah. Falling right off the bone.
So you guys doing a bit of a hot and fast smoke then, for the most part.
Right. Yep.
And, which I think makes sense. And that's one of the things I've always, so the couple of, you know, when I'm trying to think of logistics on how I would do a food truck and how I would reheat and keep food and maintain temp. And I'm just like, you know, to me, I'd probably do brisket, much like I did the tailgate where brisket, right. I would cook all the way through and then take it off that day. And it's going hot until it's gone. And then ribs and pulled pork, I would probably pre-cook, and then reheat much like you guys are doing. And there, so that, you know, it's the logistics is, chicken only usually, I, you know, 2 hour smoke. I did some jerk, smoked chicken this weekend, came out phenomenal, but, about two,
I'm waiting for that invite, man. And you know, we're going to have to hop on the grill together, man.
We're definitely going to do something where we, you know, you come up here and, cause I have a Stumps XL baby. So that's a, that's me. You know, for folks that
new listeners. Did you get to try one of our leg quarters?
I grabbed everything. Everything. Okay. The only thing I didn't really get into was the dessert because, you know, I got to watch my weight.
Oh, yeah. So, we don't have any dessert anyway.
So, what everything else, I tasted the mac and cheese. It was really good. But the, with the Stumps, because it's kind of like that gun safe smoker. So, I can get quite a bit of food on there. So, we definitely going to do something where, you know, here and come hang out and let's do the thing and see what's what. So before Rod derailed my original question, but you know, it was a good topic, so I'm glad he did. But I wanted to get back to maintaining temp and checking temp and what technology. I mean, you guys going low tech on that, typical food thermometers, you guys using the new fancy dancy remote meters, or how are you guys doing that?
So honestly, man, when it came to those tankers, you know, it was no temperature checking anything. It's just years of experience and knowing when it's time for that food to come off. Another big thing about when we were using those piss smokers is when it comes to our pork, we always utilize, this is a trick for anyone to take and use themselves. We utilize the oven after. So,
after you the smoke and wrap, go to the oven.
Right. So we utilize the oven for our pork shoulders and our ribs. And this is prior to us having our industrial smoker, which can act like a huge oven, rotisserie oven when you need it to be. So we never really worried about it. Like we, you know, just the years of experience, we knew the food was done. And we know the food is done, especially when you're taking out of the smoker, off the pit smoker and put it in the oven. I mean, there's no question. And when it comes to the chicken is just, it was literally just off of our common knowledge, how it looks when you're picking it up, et cetera. But today, now that we're using the industrial smoker, I just use simple meat thermometer. I'll check it along the way. I know what temperatures I like for my meats to come off with. That's probably what I won't share. Because I think, I mean, of course, in person for sure. But like when it comes to the chicken and the ribs, what temperature I like to take it out exactly at for that food to be coming off the bone how it's supposed to. So after hours into smoking, I'll go out there and I'll stick it. I'll test every layer of the smoker, one piece of meat, the biggest piece of meat, to give me a good read, digital gauge. And then like when it comes to our turkeys and stuff, we have the smoke, like during, you know, the smoke, the turkeys are really delicate. Don't want to mess those up because those are for people's Thanksgiving. So we have digital thermometers that actually stick on top of the smoker, on top of the pit. It has a long, long wire. Of course, it goes into the meat and it can sit on top and give you the temperature the whole way, flashes different colors as it starts to get closer.
Is that
to
the DigiQ?
I'm not sure the name of the brand. We've had these for years now.
Send it to me later because if
I will.
Yeah, send it to me later because folks are interested in what, you know, what we're using.
Yeah. Will do.
Go ahead, Rod.
Yeah, Chris, I'm going to derail you again. So
no, it's okay. Rod's so extremely excited because I'm always been like, I'm not putting nothing in the oven, but I know it.
I'm a fan of what you just said. It's the truth. It's you've already got all the smoke in there. You're wrapping it. It will get no more smoke now that you've wrapped it.
Right.
It's absolutely fine to go to your oven.
I have the luxury of having this big smoker for a backyard guy. You know what I mean? So
the only reason we use the oven was a seamless process. So we get it off the grill. We can get more on the grill. We get those into the oven. And the oven is a cheat code. I mean, that thing, it comes out the oven. As long as you don't overcook it, the oven is a blessing when it comes to barbecue.
So...
And I get where you're coming from because we don't put anything in the oven now that we got the big smoker. It just goes back.
Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah. But that's not to say when it comes to logistics and, you know, trying to figure out how to put on, we do, you know, big parties and big events often enough where it's like, hey, we need to, you know, make some moves here. And utilize him. My buddy had last summer, he had a graduation party and he wanted me to smoke 100 chicken quarters. You know what I mean? So that requires some finessing and figuring out timing and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Thankfully, everything came out perfectly.
Yeah.
So how does one make the decision? Like, you know what? We're going to pull the trigger and start this food truck. Because I'm sure there's got to be at least, you know, 100 people listening that's like, you know, thinking like, God, I just want to do my own food truck. I love the aspect that you're doing where it's a weekend thing. Cause that's something that, you know, I'm pretty content in my job. I like what I do for a living, working in IT and software. And so, but you know, I have my hobbies and definitely barbecue is one of them. So what was the final straw to say, we're going to go find a truck?
So I had recently graduated from college, at Towson University, and came home, and throughout my, like I said, since I was a kid all the way till 2014, 15, I graduated a couple years early. So we're a few years out of college, but I had seen my dad still hustling and bustling and doing it the way he had did it since I was a kid. And now I'm a little more educated. I'm aware of the world, social media, et cetera. And I know how much the food is loved. Like, I mean, my dad is very popular in this area because of his food. And I knew how bad I wanted the masses to experience it. Right. But at the same time, I also knew my dad's not going to quit his job to do this full time. I'm not going to quit my job or beginning of my career to do this full time. Cause even at that time, I didn't know how much I loved it. Because I knew I had a passion for it, but I just never had taken it on business wise. I would help my dad a lot in life, but I had never actually given a ton of my time to the barbecue. But my sister, Nicole, and my dad and myself and my mom, we came together and we told my dad, we're like, Dad, like, you should open a food truck. Like, a food truck can be what you're doing right now, except it's going to be more feasible. Also maybe trying not to work out of the house. You know, when we were doing these jobs since I was a kid all the way up till I was an adult out of college, my dad was still hustling out of the backyard with his 2-3 backyard smokers. utilizing the kitchen in the house. And of course, this was not official business. This stuff that he was just doing on the side for other people.
Sure. Yep.
So, but he would have to turn down so much work because he couldn't handle the demand working out of the house. So, and he would just do it when he'd want to make some side money and stuff like that. But my sister and I came to him with the approach of like, yo, you should open a food truck. And he also had always wanted a food truck as well. He spoke about it a lot of times. But it really took my sister and I and my mom and all of us coming together and saying we would all commit to working for it to actually get the ball rolling. So at that time, actually, when we decided we were going to open a food truck, I knew we didn't really have the funds at the time. But I also knew, you know, let's try to get more people knowing about this food compared to like how it was word of mouth. And I came up with the idea of the pop-up tent.
Right.
A good friend of mine, he owns Cedar Grove Beer Store. It's off of Route 27 on your way to Damascus.
Okay.
It's a historic building. Really popular. One of the top beer stores in the county, connected to a gas station. I reached out to him. I was like, hey, man, my family and I were trying to get our barbecue off the ground. We're hoping to open a food truck. But I was wondering in the meantime, if you would allow me to, or my family, to pop up outside of your store on the weekend. And he was like, man, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, let's make it happen.
Phenomenal.
So, yeah. So we started.
And a brilliant idea, too.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. And we started hustling heavy out of the kitchen at home and started promoting it on Facebook. You know, I didn't know much at that time about promoting business on the internet. I just started putting on my personal page and sharing it amongst all of my family members' pages. But everyone knew us for the barbecue. If you know my family, you know that we know how to throw down on the grill. So when we put it out there, man, the first couple pop-ups, man, it was crazy how many people came out. Just showing that community love and also coming to get the food that they know they've had before.
Sure.
So we started having the pop-up tents. The pop-up tent grew from Cedar Grove and we started getting booked for other events because we started a social media. Starting on social media for your business really starts making people approach you as a business. So we started getting reached out to by like Oktoberfest, beer festival, stuff like that. And we were hustling out of that tent, man. And then what I can tell you is if you can find a way to hustle out of a tent, when you get a food truck, it's like heaven.
Piece of cake.
I mean, yeah, we were hustling out of a tent trying to keep barbecue warm in pans with sternos, you know, and trying to keep the food quality. And then stuff's running out and we need to get it warmed up fast. We're using our locker smoker to try to get stuff warmed up fast, but it's not warming up fast enough. And then if you warm it up too fast, close to that heat, you're messing up the quality of the meat. Yep. So that tent became a headache, but we figured out how to run that tent perfectly. So when we got the food truck, it was just on and popping from there.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
I was going to say, we just kept hustling out of the tent until it got to the point where we had saved up money, and then my dad took personal funds as well and combined it with money we were making, and he wanted to purchase actually a KinderCare bus.
I thought it was a bus, but I was like, okay. So, because my next question to you was, what features were you looking for in a vehicle, either to know that you could convert it into something to serve barbecue or was already set up for doing barbecue? So go ahead and expound on that a little bit on what you found and why you decided on it.
Family friend of ours hit us up. His wife worked at the daycare. He's like, yeah, they're getting rid of some of these buses for a really low price. Thought maybe you guys would be interested for converting it into a food truck. And my dad went back and forth with him, went to go see the bus, and it was a really, really good price. And we went ahead and grabbed it. When we grabbed the bus, we probably had the bus for about a year before it ever even got touched, to be converted into a food truck. But when I tell you that we got it out of quote unquote the mud, you know, getting this business started from the tent. Well, honestly, let's go all the way back from my dad just doing cookouts and graduation parties, just like you do, exactly what you do. He was doing that since I was a very young kid, and to the pop-up tent, to the KinderCare bus, because I'm like, KinderCare bus, you know, like what? Like, and when I envisioned the food truck, I thought we were always going to go get your typical UPS style, you know, truck.
Right. With the openings, yeah.
Right. But, and then from grabbing that truck to hustling and working and saving money, and my dad also taking his personal funds and putting it into the business, we just then found through, you know, we know a lot of people out here, we found a guy that builds food trucks for a living.
Okay, so you did end up hiring somebody to help convert into the food truck. Okay. Yeah,
Northern Virginia, a guy who did it full time, I believe, and also did it on the side. We handed it off to him. He had it for about 5-6 months, and he did all that work in the parking lot of his apartment complex.
Oh, wow. Truck
sat out there. Yeah. And when I tell you, man, if you ever come, you can come onto the food truck and look and see how professional.
It looked great. I mean, I peeked inside to see you guys had the warmer setup.
Yeah.
You had the nice counter setup where you could, mm-hmm. you know, and then you had, of course, you had a second vehicle to help transport supplies.
Right.
So I peeked all of that.
Too. It was a real get it out the mud situation. And we got all this. We got the truck for the low. We got the work done at the lowest rate. There's still quality at the end of the day.
The key is making a dream come true.
Absolutely.
You guys had a dream, had a vision.
Yeah.
And you graduated from, I'll say the tent, because I think your dad was doing a lot of stuff with just love, a passion for food.
Yeah.
And then now he's been able to work with you and your sister to turn it into a family business.
Right.
So what do you end up plugging that generator into the generator? Cause you had a massive generator out there. Yeah. And often when we stepped our tailgating up, we always tried to find ways to step up our tailgate. So we were bringing satellite dishes out, hooking up TVs and all that stuff. And then, but probably one of the biggest game changers is when we switched to using a small generator. So what do you end up plugging into that thing?
So we have, first off, a refrigerator that takes, you know, a lot of power. The refrigerator, we have a warmer that holds about 7 pans, adjustable warmer. You can adjust the heat and adjust the humidity. And then we have steam trays that also we keep our... We have 3 steam trays, and on there, one of our hot sides, and then two of our meats. Always our chopped pork, and always one of our, either our leg quarters or our chopped chicken. And then on top of everything outside of that is the microwave that we have to utilize sometimes. And then of course our merchant system, plugs into it as well. And then we've had all the way down to TV on there, watching the games during pop-up, stuff like that. Always comes in handy for those things as well. But yeah, man. And then another piece of advice that I'll give anybody that's listening is, it's not cheap, but when you can get a quiet generator at earliest convenience, because we had a cheaper generator in the beginning, man, that thing was loud. But when you're going to go do certain events, sometimes you're ruining the entire event because you got this loud generator.
Right,
and you
want
to be
yeah.
close to the event, because the closer you are to the event, the better for your business and feeding the people. But it was a game changer when we moved over to a quiet generator. And it's not silent. It's not a silent generator.
No. But you could definitely hold a conversation while it was running.
Absolutely.
Which is the point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Slap some Tesla power walls there. You'd be good to go.
So, and I think that's one of the cool things about my truck is that I have a truck full of outlets. So, you know, I could offset some of the power required. So let me ask you this, because obviously you've had to adapt your barbecue from what you would do for a typical cookout at home to being in the and to catering and selling. But, you know, for the home barbecue guys, you have some tips you can impart on them to kind of, you know, help them step their game up when it comes to making good chopped pork and stuff?
Absolutely. So my number one tip for anyone in life in general, for anything, is YouTube. I like to say YouTube University. It's helped me in a lot of different areas of life. But especially when it comes to business, but especially when it comes to barbecue, utilize YouTube. You know, don't be afraid to hop on the internet and take others' advice, tips, etc. Because that's been a game changer for me at home, which is my number one place. My favorite place to cook out is at home. I love having gatherings and having people over. And I've utilized YouTube for a lot of different things that I was praised for that I kept to myself that I got from YouTube. secondly would be, you know, get creative. Even if you may be taking some tips from YouTube, like utilize your own ideas of what flavors you want to try at home. That's what makes it fun. I know a lot of times I've had plenty of times at home that I failed. But that's the fun in it. It's like you fail a couple of times, but when you succeed, nobody can tell you anything in the house that day. I'm the man. No. I don't care what you say.
Peacocking all over the house.
Hey, come taste this right now. Come, you know, and getting people to enjoy it. But be creative. But most importantly, when it comes to barbecue and really good barbecue, you got to be patient. Patience is key. That's a big thing for a lot of new guys. All my friends call me, and I know just like they do you guys when they're cooking barbecue and they're not familiar with it. Hey, all right, so I just did this. Now what do I do? Well, the first thing you need to do is stop opening the grill. Stop opening the grill. Leave it alone for a little while. But
looking, it ain't cooking. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So be patient. Trust the process of barbecue. It's a process for sure. But there's a lot of, for me, the process is beautiful because I find a lot of peace in it. It's something about being next to that perfect. Right? It's an art. It's most certainly an art, but there's a lot of peace in that being next to that smoker and that smoke just churn out and that smell and all of it all in one on a beautiful day. I'm getting goosebumps. Like that's how you know it's real. Like I really enjoy that. So just enjoy the process. Be patient and enjoy the process. Because once you learn it, it's like riding a bike.
I don't know if we stress enough, Rod, telling people to be patient when it comes to learning barbecue. Because we do find folks that get frustrated. They're trying to, you know, they've taken on their first brisket and even yourself, Rod, when you started started doing briskets and your first couple ones, you were not happy with them.
Nope.
You know, and I was just like, keep going. You're not doing
it. Going. You got
to not doing anything different.
You got to ruin a couple $1,000 of the meat before you it's like golf, right? So,
right. Yeah. Yo, so do you know where you're at this weekend?
Yes. So we have 3 pop-ups this weekend. Actually 2 now. One was canceled. They're calling for rain this entire weekend. We're supposed to be at Wind Ridge Winery Friday night. Reached out to them, told them, hey, if it stays in the forecast, we will not be there. So they just decided to go ahead and cancel. Saturday, we will be at Mount Airy Fairgrounds for Mount Airy Lions Club yard sale / like flea market. We did this event last year. It was booming, sold out.
Nice.
Run a ton of food and sold out. Also, it was a really good place to come and find some stuff that you might want to buy outside of barbecue. Excuse me. It's a really big event at Mount Airy.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, we will be at Maryland Stockerplex. There is a high school rugby tournament going on from Friday to Sunday. They wanted us to be there the whole weekend, but that's like 30,000 people. So, you know, I try to be smart with what we take on. And I know that Sunday is less people because it's championship Sunday. So and there'll be some other food trucks out there too. But yeah, so Saturday, Mount Airy, Sunday, Germantown, Soccerplex. And then we have a catering job as well this weekend.
Very cool. Listen, man, I thank you so much for coming on here. I definitely would love for you to come back so we can, you know, delve into specific topics a little bit deeper, like when you do an event like that, how do you, what is your goal and stuff like that? And,
to the home cook who's doing a big cookout for their friends and being successful.
So, but anyway, that's for another topic. So tell them where you're located on Facebook and, Instagram.
So we're located
I was going to say, I put links for everything.
You did?
Yeah, okay, I got your Facebook page, your ordering page, your Instagram page. I got all your links. You're already hooked up. But definitely tell them. I mean, they can definitely hit you at Instagram is probably the easiest one.
IG, that's our most popular. I don't know. Facebook's head in head with that. Younger people, Instagram. Older people, Facebook. But we're on Instagram at Bangin, BANGINBBQ. And the same on Facebook, Bangin, B-A-N-G-I-N space BBQ.
So you can find us there. You ever want any?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm not going to take any credit for the name. My dad came up with the name.
Makes
sense. He originally came up with it, I was like, nah, I don't like that, man. I'm not feeling that. But it, sooner or later, just stuck. I wanted it to be called Carolina Q. But Bangin, it's my dad that started it. He came up with the name. Respect. So we went with Bangin Barbecue.
Yeah, props to him.
Get the care bus, so let's roll with what I said.
There you go. That's pretty much what it was. No, Bangin Barbecue it is. Yes, sir.
Man.
Yeah, we definitely got to get together. Before I get off here, though, I do want to like pay tribute to my dad. He instilled all this stuff into me, not only the barbecue, but the hustle.
Right.
My dad is a real hustler. He does HVAC as well. Barbecue, oh, okay. Full-time job. So he really, really, you know, passed the torch down to me and opened the doors for me to be successful in the barbecue world. And he still helps me. He just recently stepped away after my mom's passing. So he's been in it for 30 plus years, all the way up until now. So I just want to give him his flowers on here as well.
Word up, man.
Literally, without you know, him being who he was in my life, I wouldn't be able to do this. So he's put me in a position to win.
That's fantastic, man. I love supporting family businesses. I love supporting small businesses. So yeah, we're going to definitely keep going with that. Rod, you got anything else?
Nope. I think we can call this a wrap, sir.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for supporting our show. You know, we've got a couple orders out already for our new barbecue and tech butcher block. If you're interested, that one, we are custom making to order. So you have to hit us up directly, whether it be on Twitter, on,
Instagram.
Just hit us up directly and I'll reach out to you and, wrap with you about, building you one of those. Awesome. If you want to support the show directly, you can go to patreon.com/ barbecue and tech. But by all means, please keep tweeting out the show. Keep giving us comments and tips and stuff in our Discord. We love all of that. Okay.
Chris, it was fantastic to have you. Thank you so much.
Yes, it was great being here. I greatly appreciate you guys. And I look forward to coming back on sometime in the future.
Word up. All right. We out.
Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.